I want to start here this morning that most of us, I suspect, have had the situation at some point in time when you realize you're just a little bit out of step with everybody else. And I had this, I've had this realization a few times in my life, and I'll just share this one with you. Once, right after we got done with school, we moved down to Texas. And if you are in Texas, and, well, let me put it this way, having grown up in Minnesota, if I want a non-alcoholic carbonated beverage, I ask for pop. And if you're in Texas and you ask for a glass of pop, they look at you like you've grown a second head. So I got in the habit of saying soda pretty quick because I wanted to be able to blend in a little bit. So I'd been down there for a couple of years. We go back up into Minnesota to Lorianne's brother's wedding. And we're there at a reception at her folks' house. And I'm kind of greeting people as they come in. And I say, yeah, the beer's over in that cooler. And the soda's over in that cooler. And this gal looks at me and she's just like, you're not from around here, are you? I'm like, well, I am. I've just been living in Texas for a couple of years. And I say that because I'm sure most of us have had that kind of an experience. Sometimes it's linguistic. You say bubbler and everybody's like, what the heck is a bubbler? Or something else where you realize you're just a little bit off step from everybody else. And sometimes what happens is you realize there's this longing in your heart for some place that you used to live, some time, some custom, some relationship. And there's this piece of your soul that's just missing. There's peace where you want to be someplace else. And it might be a time, it might be a place, it might be a set of relationships, but something is missing. And that's what I want to talk about today, and I want to work through that through the lens of this David series, because it has been this fascinating time. We have spent the last 5-6 weeks talking about David, who was the great king of Israel. He was the second king, the greatest king, the one known as the man after God's own heart. And I want to walk through how that helps us understand our place in the world today. Bring it from David to Solomon to Jesus to us. So what happened, and this is key for understanding this, is that when David says, I want to build the temple, God says, no, too much blood on your hands, you've done too many things, we're going to let your son build the temple, but you, your descendants, will have an eternal throne. Your descendants will always be kings over Israel. And so what there was in Israel is there was a series of prophecies, series of hopes that someone's son would always be king. If you put up that first slide, this is a beautiful passage out of Isaiah. Let me just read this for you. There shall come a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now you look at that and it's like, okay, what does that mean? But that line there to begin with, a root, a shoot from the stump of Jesse. What's going on there is Isaiah is writing in this time of exile. The Babylonians have swept in, destroyed Israel, destroyed the temple. And they have carted off into exile large chunks of the people of Israel, including anybody out of David's line. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out, wait a minute, if the promise is always that one of David's descendants will be king, what do we do with this when everybody's been hauled off into exile? And so there's this beautiful series of promises where God says, no, look, I remember this promise. He says it here in Isaiah, says it in Jeremiah, says it in other places. And then that reading we just heard Bruce read, Paul is recounting this in New Testament times, saying, no, there will be this descendant of David on the king forever, on the throne forever. Because what happens is Jesus comes along as a descendant of David. And that's why the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of Gospel of Luke, they focus all this genealogy, tracing Mary and Joseph back to David. Because they're saying, look, this is a promise fulfilled. Because this king is showing up. And it's not this king who is working in the way that they expect, throwing out the Romans, cleansing the temple, reestablishing the monarchy, but this king who is establishing his kingdom, a place where God works, a place where God is present, here on this earth. You see, this is the thing. This is the piece that helps us understand where we feel just a little out of step with the world. Because there is a longing in our heart to be part of that kingdom of God. A place where God is present. A place where we see God face to face. A place where there is no sin, no brokenness, where we're healed. And Jesus coming into this world establishes that foothold of that kingdom here in this world. Now, as I'm saying this, what you might be thinking is saying, okay, so does that mean I don't get to see this until I die? I just hang on until I die, and then I die, and then I get to deal with this? I get that hope I'm going to be out of place, out of sorts until then? No. No, we're not into fatalism. We're not into just hanging on. What we believe and understand is that God's kingdom breaks in. God's kingdom works through us today. If you go to that second slide, please. There's this interesting little story that for whatever reason we never talk about, and I don't know why. It's a beautiful story. Remember I said a few minutes ago that David doesn't get to build the temple. It's his son Solomon that builds the temple. So Solomon spends years building the temple. They get it done, and then they go to have the first worship service to dedicate the temple. And I love this passage out of 2 Chronicles. It says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire comes down from heaven, consumes the burnt offering and the sacrifices, the glory of the Lord fills the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. You imagine that? We're just here, we're praying, we're dedicating a new building, and fire comes down from heaven. And nobody can come in because God's presence is just too thick. Be a heck of a day, wouldn't it? Yeah, sorry, I can't come to work today. God's there. I don't know what that means for us. But yeah, it is this amazing experience. And the temple, for centuries, from the time of Solomon to the time of Ezekiel, it is this place where God is present in this special way, where God's presence saturates this building. And the story of God's presence leaving is a whole different sermon, which is also fascinating, but we'll save that for a different time. What we need to understand is God's presence works there in a special way in that place and time. And now, those Old Testament promises, where they're talking about the nation of Israel, where they're talking about the temple, that gets translated into us as individuals and us as the church in the New Testament. So if you put that last slide up there, Paul writes this in Corinthians. He says, don't you know that your body is a temple to the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. And so what Paul is saying, he's saying, look, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives within you, and you are called to carry that within you. You are called to be that piece of the kingdom. And just as God dwelled in the temple in Old Testament times, he dwells in you now, and you're called to carry that in the world. And you're called to be different than the world, to live in that. Now, we're going to spend the fall unpacking what that means and how do we live in this world and what does it mean to reflect the character of God. But what I just want to talk about is we are marked to be different. And I want you to think about it this way. Have you ever been to a place where it's like you're in a normal place, and then it's like you cross the street, you go into something else, and you realize you're just in a whole different cultural world? If you spend any time in St. Paul, you know there's a huge Vietnamese population. What happened is after the Vietnam War, Lutheran Social Services and others settled a lot of our Vietnamese allies in Minnesota. It was people who were fleeing Vietnam so they didn't get killed by the communists. They needed to go someplace where they'd be safe. And so naturally they picked Minnesota because the climate is so much like Vietnam. It is. And it's a really interesting dynamic. And so I had classmates of mine in high school who parents had fled from the communists. It was really interesting. But one night I was riding along with the St. Paul police and got to be about dinner time, and the guys I was riding with say, "Do you like Vietnamese food?" And I'm like, "I don't know I've ever had Vietnamese food, but I'll try anything once." And so we went to this place, this little Vietnamese hole in the wall, and it's right there in St. Paul. It was close enough you could actually see the Capitol building from there. And I think we were the only people speaking English in there. And I'm looking at the menu, and I'm like, "I have no idea what any of this stuff is." And I'm like, "Okay, I will have the spicy chicken." And they bring me out this, it's white rice, it's fried onions, and it's chicken with like this glaze on it. And it was so good. And it was right, they were not kidding when they said it was spicy chicken. Because it was right on that line between tasty and painful. And it was delicious. When Lorianne and I started dating a couple years later, I'm like, "You want to try Vietnamese? This place is really cool." But it was one of those, it was interesting. Because there are those places, especially in St. Paul, where it's like, you think in Minnesota, you're thinking a bunch of Scandinavians, and you turn a corner, and it's like you're in a whole different community. And that's a model for us. We are called to be in this world, but carrying the customs and the character of God. And that's not about our language, it's not about the style of anything, except we reflect the character of Jesus. We live in the pattern that he lived, forgiving the people who did awful things to him, loving this entire world, and living out of that generosity and sacrifice in a way that is so countercultural to human nature. And that's who we are called to be. We are called to be citizens of that kingdom, regardless of our physical location. And so that's always going to feel a little off for us because we are part of that kingdom that traces its way back to David. Now, as we've been walking through this series over the last 6 weeks, we have been reading the Psalms in parallel to that because the Psalms are so beautiful, and it's what David wrote, it's what others wrote, and it establishes that prayer book and song book that Jesus had read, that Jesus would have been singing. So if you want to grab one of these blue pew Bibles out of the seat in front of you, we're going to take a look at Psalm 46, and I just want to read it together. It's on page 522. And again, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to grab one of these. We've got plenty, okay? And we've been reading this out of the paper because we want to get you in that habit of reading it. So here we go, Psalm 46, page 522. We're all going to read this together. I'm just going to start, and everybody's going to read, and y'all just read with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountain be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar or foam, though the mountains tremble and swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. His voice, other's voice, earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob and our fortress. Let us pray. Lord, I pray you would keep us in your kingdom. Help us to know our citizenship is in you, and that you are the ones that we reflect always. Amen.